Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Some really great readings today, right? Right? So I love this reading about Elijah and Elisha. You know, the two prophets. You know, two prophets. One old-time prophet and his, you know, his student, as you might say, with Elisha. And so we're given a little picture here of what's going to happen to this story in Kings. What's going to happen to this story about prophecy in the land of Israel in the early days. And so we realize that, you know, the student is told by Elijah, by the master, that he's going to go away. And so the student, what does the student ask for? A double portion of his spirit, right? You know, I don't know about you, but I love double portions, right? I've recently lost little weight. And but my main struggle isn't the portion, it's the double portion, right? Chocolate cake, oh my gosh. You know, everybody has one piece of chocolate cake, I'm tempted to have two because, you know, I want a double portion of God's goodness. Well, I've had to cut back on that double portion a bit over the last year. But double portions, right? What's this, you know, double portion? So I think the story is telling us that the prophecy here, prophecy is going to go onward, right? It's not only going to be the prophecy that we've recognized in Elijah, but it's even going to be greater, because we see the promise come true, right? Elijah says, if you see me, you know, maybe, you know, this will happen. If you don't see me, and of course he does see him, and then the proof is in the pudding. Pudding? See, I'm back to chocolate cake. The proof is in the pudding. He touches the mantle to the water, and the waters part just like Elijah's waters parted. And so, that's kind of a forward look for us. Will prophecy continue after the great figure of Elijah? Yes, it continues with Elisha and the stories, and of course, it continues on to the greatest prophet of all, the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, right? The prophetic nature of Jesus Himself, right? In this story of prophecy and God's will for God's people to be all they can be. And so we jump forward now to this gospel reading. A little bit hard, right? This gospel reading is not easy to read, is it? You have to remember always this gospel is written by Luke, and Luke is speaking about 50 years after Jesus' death, and he's speaking to a community of new Christians, right? Now Matthew and John's gospel are speaking to people with a Jewish understanding, right? They're pretty familiar with the Jewish stories, the stories of Elijah and Elisha. They're pretty familiar with those stories. And the promises that were made to Abraham and to Moses, right? They're familiar with that. Luke's audience is largely a new group of people, a new group, Christianity, springing up. Particularly can't forget those promises that were given to Abraham and to Moses, right? So Luke has to somehow hold this whole story together, right? This whole story together. And so he has a theme that's basically this: past, present, and future, right? That's Luke's theme. The past equates to the promises. He has to maintain, he has to hold somewhat to the wisdom of the past to make sure that the promises that were foretold are realized, right? And the present is the fulfillment. We have the stories, Luke's own stories about Jesus Christ. Right? So the fulfillment of those promises Luke sees is in Jesus Christ. That's the present. And then, of course, the future. What does Luke want us to do? What does Jesus want us to do with all of this that we've accumulated, that we've gained? And the accumulation is lived out in the gospel, the rest of the gospel of Luke, and in another writing, right? What's the other writing? And what's Luke's other writing? What's Luke's second volume? The Acts of the Apostles, right? So Luke continues this theme even beyond the gospel to show, well, what did the apostles do? What did the disciples do after this great story of God's incarnation? And so he has the past, the promise, the present, the fulfillment, and the future, the mission, The future is the mission of the church. And so as we hear today, you might be able to see a little bit of this theme, right? In some of these stories. And though it sounds very harsh, this poor guy says, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. He says, but first I have to go bury my father. What does Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead, right? Doesn't sound much like Jesus, right? No. I was when I was young, right? Things would be better, right? So those are our temptations. Our temptations are to rely on what we know rather than what we don't know. And we don't know what the future holds. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. Don't turn back, he says. Don't turn back. You know, those of you that are familiar with Deacon Debbie's sermon this morning with regard to plowing, because her family were farmers. And so if you plow, right, if you're plowing, you got to keep your eye straight ahead, right? If you don't plow straight, because if you see a great field, if you're a farmer or you're passing by farmlands, you'll notice how straight all those rows are parallel to one another. So in fact, if you're plowing and you look back and you make a little jog in the road, all the rest of the furrows have to follow that jog, right? All the rest of the furrows also have to take that jog because they have to be a certain distance from one another for the plants, for the seeds to thrive, right? So we can't get stuck in this looking back, right? In this looking back. I don't know. I was kind of a crazy kid. Sometimes I used to try to drive forward by looking following the road backwards. You know, I don't know if anybody else is that crazy, but you know, kids do crazy things, right? Or even even less. Sometimes you're driving and something catches your attention over here. And, you know, you have a tendency, psychologists say, you have a tendency to turn towards the way you look, right? So if you're, what Jesus is saying here is a little bit deeper than just a simple act. He's saying when you're going forward, number one is you need to grab the plow, right? You need to take hold of this mission forward. You need to grasp it, get a hold of it. And you need to be focused forward, not back. Not back. And so, all of us, I think, can follow that in various aspects of our lives. Think about your work, the thinking back of your work. Oh, that boss I used to have, a lot better than the one I have today. Right? It's different. I had a friend of mine from this parish, matter of fact, who used to say, getting old isn't for the weak at heart. Right? Because as the older we get, we want to hold on. We want to rely. We're more and more and more concerned about that future. It's scary. It's a scary place. No one can tell you it's assured. No one can guarantee you anything except for God. God says, wherever you are, I'll be with you. But none of us can really be assured of what that future holds. And as a community, the community of St. Benedict's, we're called into that future. We're called to go forward. We're called to be aware of the past and to take stock of it in the present and to move ourselves in the mission for St. Benedict's forward into the future. A scary place. A scary place. The good news is God is there. God is there, not just standing there waiting for us to get there. God is moving toward us. As we move towards God, God moves towards us, says Karl Rahner. God is on the move, and he's God. Not only moving towards us, but nudging us along. He's before us. He's behind us. And if we're moving in the right direction, we'll get close to where God wants us to be. And so as we deal with the many, many things in our lives that scare us about the future, trust in God. Trust that God's there Wherever that future is, God's there. And God will be with us always to the end of time. Amen.